You are listening to episode 141 of the Walking Leader Podcast. This is the Walking Leader Podcast, episode number 141. I am your host, David Guerra, author of The Walking Leader and Great to Follow. In this episode, I close out the Learning Those Soft Skills podcast series. That's right, this is the 12th of a 12-part series on soft skills. In this episode, I'm going to talk about, well, the other soft skills. See, there were lots. There are lots of soft skills out there, and they're all equally important. Some of them I just had to move up because some of them I've already talked about in past episodes, but they still need to be recognized as soft skills. And I'm going to talk about, about six of them. Confidence, creative thinking, listening, accountability, responsibility, they go together, emotional awareness, and empathy. So let's get started. Confidence, the soft skill of confidence. The definition of confidence is the feeling or belief that one can rely on something or someone, a firm trust. Or another definition is a feeling of self-assurance arising from one's appreciation of one's own abilities or qualities. And this is the one that sticks. It's self-assurance arising from one's appreciation of one's own abilities or qualities. And folks, you have to appreciate it because that's where you build your confidence. Once you know what you've got and once you know what you can do and you know your limits, you got it. Because again, you're confident. You're confident in that you know what you can do. You're confident that you know your limits. So as the balancedcareers.com website, an important soft skills for workplace success article says, confidence, this is of the top skills that top soft skills that employers want. They say confidence is key, they continue. That being said, it is also important to always have the knowledge and skills to support the self-assurance. By being confident and capable, your supervisors, employees, and clients will believe in what you are saying. Again, you believe in what you're saying, and your supervisors, your employees, your clients at work, your family, your friends, your peers outside of work, they're going to start believing in you because you come off as confident. Now, there's a fine line between confidence and being cocky. And that comes with experience. That comes with age. That comes with time. And you're going to be cocky, but then you're going to be confident and you're going to bounce back and forth. And then, of course, there's always arrogance. And then arrogance just kind of lingers right above that. So be careful. Be careful. And it's part of growing up. And it's part of learning. And it's part of becoming better and becoming that confident individual. You're going to have arrogance, you're going to have cockiness, and that's okay. But so long as you're not letting your confidence slip because someone calls you out on your cockiness or somebody calls you out on your arrogance, realize that their definition of cockiness, their definition of arrogance is 180 degrees different than yours. And why do I say 180 degree difference? Because no two definitions of confidence is the same. Sure, you might know somebody, you might work with somebody for years and years and years, or you might live in the same household or grow up in the same household, but I guarantee you, your definition and their definition and my definition of confidence, three different definitions, I guarantee it. But that's just the way it goes. That's just the way it is. So you go by your set of rules, you set your standards. Don't set your standards on anybody else or because of somebody else's standards. Set them your way. So if somebody doesn't like it, and you know you're just being confident, but it comes across as being arrogant or cocky, well, maybe look at what you're doing and what you're saying, but for the most part, use it as a tool to grow with. Don't use it as a tool that defines you. Because once you start defining yourself based on somebody else, you've kind of lost. So don't do that. You've lost that confidence. Creative thinking. Creative thinking is defined as looking at something in a new way. It is the very definition of, quote, thinking outside the box, creative thinking. And I've talked about that. And I love talking about creative thinking and thinking outside the box because all you're just doing is moving yourself out of one box into a slightly bigger box. And you're always going to box yourself. And the moment you think outside the box, you've now created a larger box. And so you have to constantly keep thinking outside the box because you're going to box yourself in each and every time. Sure, you take one step out, but now the box has grown one step. So I hope you get that. So with creative thinking, it's Well, it's being able to come up with unique solutions or alternatives, and that's invaluable. It drives innovation and increases efficiency, and that's according to the balancedcareers.com website. That's their definition. That's what they say is a top skill. So the thing is, unique solutions and alternatives is invaluable. The faster you can come up with them, the better. The solid that they are, those solutions or alternatives, the better. So fast, and then you move forward from there. Creative thinking. This is again from the muse.com. Quote, being creative often means finding ways to solve problems with limited resources. Chefs are a great example of how to do this. If a chef wants to make a dish that requires 10 ingredients, but he only has 7 of them on hand, what will he do? Is he going to leave his customers hungry? Quote, end quote. That's the question. But the little article here continues. No, a great chef will go into the problem-solving mode, find a way to get creative with the 7 ingredients that he has to make a delicious dish. The greatest innovations tend to arrive under constraints. The companies with the largest budgets or heads down don't always finish first. Use your disadvantages to your advantage. Focus on the ingredients that you have, not the ones you don't. And then embrace the freedom that this creates. And folks, this is it. Doing more with less. Doing more with less. That's something that, well, if you've ever worked in a small company, small startup, prior to all of this angel funding thing where that becomes the norm, but even then, you're limited on your budget. If you've ever worked for the state government, local government, city government, the federal government, the military and the army, as an infantryman, we were taught to work and solve problems with the limited resources. Everything and anything we could carry on our backs, that was it. We went off, we were done, that was it. What we had on our backs was enough to sustain us, and we had to be resourceful with what we had. So folks, you have to definitely think outside the box, problem solve, figure it out. Now when I see motion pictures of battles and things like that, I start kind of critiquing what's going on. It's like, well, wait a minute, why is he using his weapon? Can he pick up that other guy's weapon? And so on and so on. Little things like that. Oh, they're doing the wrong thing. Maybe they should try this first. Use these local resources before they exhaust their limited resources. So again, it becomes natural. You start creatively thinking. You start seeing the bigger picture first, and then you start problem solving and start going from there. Listening is another one of those soft skills that never ends. It's forever to master. Listening is defined as to take notice of and act on what someone says. Respond to advice or a request. So yes, you can hear people talk, but are you listening? You can hear people talk, but are you listening? And you're going to run into that throughout your time. You're going to need to know how to listen and effectively listen. Sit there from the very beginning to the very end of a presentation and listen. I know, I forgot who it was that said that on average, it was something that they written, and I don't recall who it is. I do apologize. But if it is, it'll be in the show notes. I'll put there in the show notes. And speaking of show notes, every link, anything I mention here will be on the show notes. So again, thank you. Alrighty, so back to listening. He said that when you go to the doctors, and again, anybody that goes to the doctor definitely will know, that they'll listen they'll take about 8 to 12 seconds of listening before they start talking. And so they'll listen to the patient just that long. I mean, how is it enough time for you to share your information properly before they start telling you things or they start asking you questions? I went to a doctor one time and I don't know what the deal was. And I never went back to it because I got a bad vibe from that one. I mean, I've gone to other doctors, don't get me wrong, but to that one doctor. And he looked at me and he asked me some questions about my general health and stuff like that. And then he asked me one question. He said, "Do you snore?" I was like, "Well, I don't know. I'm usually asleep. I don't know if I snore. I've been told that I snore on occasion." "Okay, let's sign you up for a sleep study." It's like, that's it? One question? And because other people have said I snore, does that mean I need a sleep study? And he jumped right on it, and we're going to schedule you, we're going to do this for you, this. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You didn't listen to me. And that's the thing. And so I did look for another doctor. I found one that does listen. Again, it's starting to go back to that, but again, it's also one of those things that you need to be aware of, that whether people are listening to you or not. whether they pay attention or not. So be careful. It's not just your side, it's their side as well. So be active, be an active listener. Accountability or accounting is an entirely different podcast. Accountability or responsibility. The fact is defined as the fact or condition of being to justify actions or decisions, the state of fact of having a duty to deal with something, aka, or it's also known as, being held liable or accepting the blame for something. So that's a long, long definition. But again, that's all it is. It's a state of fact of having a duty to deal with something. You're accountable for something. You take responsibility for actions or inactions, good or bad, whatever they happen to be. But you take the responsibility. So again, you do what you say you're going to do. And that's coming from themuse.com. In their article, they quote, "When something goes wrong and you're responsible for it, don't make excuses, ignore it, or blame someone else. Instead, take full-on accountability and responsibility for the role that you played in it. Even better, you learn from it." Folks, I'm going to add on something here. The sooner, the better. The sooner, the quicker you jump into it and say, you know what, this is my fault, the better it off it's going to be for you. I do it with my kids. I do it with my kids because I had examples growing up of people passing the buck, of people blaming others, people saying, oh, well, I'm not going to get punished, so you're going to get punished. And you learn from that. You have to learn from those things, especially watching others that don't take responsibility, those that are not accountable or refuse to be held accountable for their actions. You have to. Because it makes you a stronger leader. It makes you somebody that people will turn to. It makes you a better individual. And guess what else it does? You're less apt to do it again because you recognize that, hey, I made a mistake. You're going to do it again. Another soft skill, emotional awareness. It's, quote, the ability to recognize and to make sense of not just your own emotions, but also those of others. Again, emotional awareness. We're not talking about sympathy or empathy. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Emotional awareness is the ability to recognize and make sense of not just your own emotions, but those of others. So know what's going on. Know what others are dealing with. Understand that, hey, everybody is unique. Not everyone's going to come in Monday morning all bright-eyed, cheery face, you know, smile on their face, ready to rock and roll. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. What is going to happen is that people will show up to work and they control how they feel. You just need to be aware that, hey, man, they might not be up to par today. They might not be exceeding the standard that you've set, or they definitely are not exceeding the standard you walked in with. So you walked in with a smile and then, hey, how are you? Good morning, everybody. And nobody answers back. Well, that's on them. But you understand that, hey, something might have happened over the weekend, something bad, whatever, but you recognize and you understand that even though you're feeling good, others might not feel good, and you've got to respect that. And going in blindly and demanding people tell you, that's not going to cut it. Definitely not going to cut it. The last soft skill I want to talk about is empathy. And why is it the last one? Because it's also the most difficult one. It's also the one that people tend to confuse the most. And it's the people that don't understand or were never shown what empathy is, were never guided down the path of what empathy is. They only understand sympathy. And those are two different things. Even though they end with P-A-T-H-Y or M-P-A-T-H-Y, they are two different words. See, empathy is defined as the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. The ability to understand and share the feelings of another. Again, the ability to understand the feelings of another person. We get that. The ability to share the feelings of another, meaning you're sharing them. You're not taking them over. You're not saying, oh, well, I understand your pain, but my pain is worse than your pain. Oh, you don't understand. You just have a stubbed toe. I broke a leg. That's not understanding, and that's definitely not sharing the feelings of another person. The sharing would be more of like, yes, I've been there. I've had a broken bone, and leave it at that. So I understand how discomforting it is. I understand how frustrating it is. I do understand. That's it. Because you can share that. You can share that. But again, everybody's situation is different. No two are the same. Now, empathy, the ability to understand and share the feelings of another, is not to be confused with sympathy. Sympathy is defined as, quote, feelings of pity and sorrow for someone else's misfortune. See, the last thing anybody wants is pity. We're all independent people. We all feel like we're independent. It doesn't matter what our situation in life is. We all want to feel that we are independent. We all want to feel that, yeah, sure, sometimes we might need somebody else's help, but we don't need their pity and their sorrow. Because for one, unless you caused that situation, unless you're the one that was texting while driving or drunk driving and you caused somebody else's accident, they don't need the sympathy. They don't need your sorrow. They don't need your pity. Folks, it's a fine line and people confuse it. They confuse it as if it's day and night, you know, as if it's the two sides of the same coin. It's the same coin, is what I should say. They confuse it. It's not. It's two different things. It's empathy is understanding and sharing the feelings. The other one is giving pity, sorrow. It doesn't work. And when people start understanding that empathy is what empathy is and sympathy is what sympathy is, the better off they'll be. And don't confuse either one of those. It is a soft skill because you as a leader will be dealing with people on a constant daily basis. You as a manager, you as a parent, you as a friend, you as a human being, there we go, you as a human being will be dealing with that on a constant daily basis. Unless you're a hermit living up somewhere in the Appalachian Mountains, other than that, you need to have the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. And stop with the pity and the sorrow because of someone else's misfortune. Because you don't understand. They'll never understand that what you're trying to do. All they'll feel is the hurt and the pain of the pity and the sorrow. Because they're going through that moment and they don't need anybody else bringing them down any further by giving them the pity and the sorrow. So understand that empathy is and stands on its own and that you can just empathize with somebody. TheMuse.com says, it's easy to be part of the crowd and do what everyone else does, particularly within a large organization. However, it's valuable from time outside of the office to explore new experiences that allow you to grow and build empathy for others. And continuing with the quote, great outlets for this include volunteering, taking continuing education courses, travel, working on side projects, attending conferences or cultural events, and more. When we do this, we learn how to connect with others outside of our industry and build an understanding of those who have many different viewpoints, backgrounds, and who see things from different perspectives. This also teaches us how much we may have in common with others. When we take these outside experiences back inside of the office, it can create a greater empathy and understanding of our colleagues, which ultimately allows us to feel more comfortable in our own skin and when we're around them. So we're no longer feeling sorry for them. We no longer make feeling sorry for them or pity them as the go-to feeling. No. But because we can start to understand each other, we start feeling better around each other. And that truly is what a leader should be doing, is making people feel good around each other. That way they work together and they make stuff happen. So there we go. Those are the last six soft skills, and again, they're easy to grab onto. They're hard to master, but once you get them under control, they're yours, and they're yours to teach others with. So you get out there and you teach others, because you're the leader. You wanted that responsibility, whether it was given to you or you worked your way up, but now you're there and you're happy being there. Well, guess what? Start making others happy. Start making those that follow you, that look up to you, that respond to you, that react to you, that want to be around you, better individuals, because you're showing them the way, because you've got the soft skills and now it's your turn to teach them. So You've been listening to episode 141 of, and which is part 12 of the Learning Those Soft Skills series, The Other Soft Skills. And I do invite you to email me at Dave at DaveGuerra.com. There we go. Or follow me on Twitter at Dave Guerra, all one word, or follow me on Facebook at Facebook.com/TheDavidGuerra. Folks, all the links that I talked about in this episode, everything else will be on the show notes at DaveGuerra.com. Click on podcast and click on episode 141. So at this point, thank you for listening to episode 141. Join me next week for episode 142. I have a special guest join me for my very first, who is also happens to be my very first ever guest on the Walking Leader podcast. Yeah, it's an interview. It's going to be pretty cool. I've finally decided to do it, so we're going to roll in some interviewees, and it's going to be a great time. So again, join me next week. Until then, have a good one. Stay safe. We'll talk to you soon.